You'll find the reading of the Scripture in the book of Luke, chapter 23. The book of Luke, chapter 23. I feel led to read one verse from this chapter, one verse from the book of John, chapter 19. The book of Luke, chapter 23, and the book of John, chapter 19. If you would stand, we'll read these verses together. There'll be one in the book of Luke and one in the book of John. In the book of Luke, chapter 23, you'll find the reading in verse number 46. Verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. What do you believe He cried before He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit? He had cried with a loud voice, and then He went further and made that statement. What do you think He said? I believe you'll find that in John chapter 19 and verse number 30. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, He said, It is finished. And He bowed His head, and He gave up the ghost. Lord, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus, whom You sent down to this earth to bleed and die. Father, we thank You for these words as You walked upon this earth. We thank You for His presence. We thank You for His death, His burial, and His resurrection. We thank You for Your salvation. And we thank You for Your people. And God, I pray today that You'd just bind the demons of hell at bay. Give us a little space of grace that the Holy Ghost might move amongst the people today. God, that somebody might be saved. That this would be the day that the backslider would recognize his condition and would come to Jesus. Lord, we thank You for what You've been doing around here. I appreciate it so much. And I pray, God, it would continue. And I pray, God, we'd not ever be a hindrance or a stumbling block to the moving of the Spirit or to Your people. Lord, for this we ask and plead and pray. Your power upon the message. Help us, Lord, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. It is finished. I remember there where Jesus was asleep on the hinder part of the boat. They were on the Sea of Galilee in a major storm. The disciples began to be troubled and couldn't stop the situation. And they ran to where Jesus was asleep and woke Him up and said, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? In other words, don't You know about our condition? Don't You know what kind of problems we're having? Jesus stood and He said three words, Peace be still. And He was in complete control. And the winds ceased. And the waves fell down peacefully. There was another time where they were gathered outside a little tomb there where they'd buried Lazarus. Martha and Mary were all to pieces. And Jesus had come to where that family was grieving. And He said, Take ye away this stone. And they began to argue with Him. But nonetheless, they finally rolled that stone away. And He said three words, Lazarus, come and death had been conquered. He that was dead came out alive. And then He said, Loose him and let him go. Three simple words. As Jesus hung on the cross, He said, It is finished. He said three simple words and accomplished much. You and I will talk much and accomplish little. Up to this point on the cross, there had been tragedy. Jesus said,
My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Up to this point on the cross, there had been time of lamentation. For Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Up to this point on the cross, it had been a time of desolation as Jesus made that great cry that most every sinner has ever cried, I thirst. But with three simple words, it is finished. He turned tragedy into triumph. Lamentation into jubilation. Desolation into celebration. On that cross that day, many things were completed. And those three words were three words of completion. Not just conqueror, or not just control, but three words of completion. I want to mention this morning four things that Jesus completed on the cross with that statement, it is finished. Number one, He had accomplished the purpose of the Savior. Why had He come? He had been sent from glory, from heaven's world on a divine assignment from a thrice holy God that said, I want you to go and save the sinner. I want you to go and shed your life blood that the sinner may be saved. His purpose was to seek and to save that which was lost. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ was ordained to die for my sin and for your sin. And with those words, it is finished. His work was completed. His work was forever accomplished. He had shed His blood. Now you and I can have salvation. Secondly this morning, not only the purpose of the Savior, but I see the passing of sin. In the Old Testament, the priest would take a lamb. And when he took that lamb that was chosen and spotless and blameless, that priest would take the knife and he would take that little lamb by one hand and take the knife with the other. And as he looked at those little eyes of innocence, the priest is saying this, I am a sinner. And the people have sinned before God. And God chose the shedding of blood. Bible said if there is no shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And therefore He took that little innocent lamb whose eyes would just look up and say, what have I done? And He would cut its throat. And the blood would spill out there on the ground. And what was happening, the priest, in effect, was transferring his sin to the innocent lamb. And the innocent lamb was transferring his innocence back to the priest. You also see this picture in the book of Leviticus chapter 16 as God told the priest, go and take a scapegoat. And he would put his hands upon him, thus transferring the sins of the people and of the man of God to the scapegoat. And the scapegoat would be led out into the wilderness. And there that scapegoat would die. And guess what? He's never coming back again. Signifying that our sin has been nailed to the old rugged cross. And when our sin is nailed there, having died, amen, it's not coming back anymore. You see, with three simple words, our Savior is saying this, that our sins have been transferred from us to Him. Isaiah said it best, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. With three simple words, my sin is no longer on me. It was placed upon Jesus. No longer do I have sin's penalty facing me. The wages of sin is death. No longer do I bear the weight and the guilt of sin, for it has all been transferred to my Savior. And He said, it is finished, son. My work is complete. and you are set free. Hallelujah. Hear me this morning. Sin may be in me because of my flesh. I still am a sinner. But the guilt of sin is no longer on me. For Jesus took it upon Himself and said, "It is finished, son. You won't have to bear this anymore." The third thing I see with this statement is the prophecy, the completion of prophecy in the Scripture. When mankind sinned, the Lord made this statement in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, speaking to the serpent who had deceived the woman, said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." In those three words, it is finished. The prophecy of Scripture had been fulfilled or had been completed. Hear those words there as He said, "It is finished." He did not say this, "I am finished." That's not what He said. He said, "It is finished." That is not the cry of someone saying, "Well, I've done all I can, and I hope it's enough." It is not the cry of someone says, "Oh well, I gave it my best shot, and I give up." It is not the expression of relief. It is not the despairing cry of a helpless martyr hanging from a cross. It is not the words of some worn out life. No, no, no. It was announcing the victory has been won, children. It is finished. The book of John says this, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." Speaking of the devil. He says in Hebrews 2:14 that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. I see in those three words Scripture being fulfilled. I want to say fourthly this morning, this is where we want to really slow down. I see the prevailing over Satan in those three words. Now I'll say, first of all, we do see a bit of a precept. From human reasoning, you think about Jesus on the cross. From human reasoning, that cross looks like death, weakness, defeat, shame, agony, and tragedy. At the cross, the Jews stumble because they believed they would have a Messiah who would come as some earthly king and would annihilate the rule that Rome had upon the Jews, and no longer would they be suppressed or oppressed. And they stumble at the Savior dying on a cross, for they cannot believe it. To the Greek, they also have a bit of a problem. When they hear one stand up and speak about the cross, they think the one dying on the cross is foolishness. Certainly the Bible says that the preaching of the cross is foolishness. But unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. With those three words accomplishing our salvation, you and I say, that is the power of God. He took that blood, didn't He? We talked about, they sung about this morning. As He hung on the cross and said those words, "It is finished," I have victory. I have triumph. I have peace. I have hope. I have joy. And it's all in Jesus Christ. As He said, "It is finished." You see, His death turned into my life. And His shame was changed into my glory. Oh, bless His holy name. So we see a bit of a precept. But then we see a proclamation. I want you to turn to Hebrews 2:14. And I want you to look at that scripture I just quoted just for a second. Because so many people get this part wrong. And I read into it Sunday night as I was preaching here Sunday night. And it started coming out, and I want to go back and revisit that. In Hebrews 2:14. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death." That is the devil. Who had the power of death? It says that is the devil. But I want this morning to look at this proclamation. Let's kind of define, what is this power? that the devil supposedly has. Now, I want to read you a verse of Scripture out of Revelation. This is what Jesus said to John as he was on the Isle of Patmos. He said, "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death." And I've heard preachers, I probably have alluded to it myself, that preach this, and it's wrong. But you hear them say this, that Jesus, when he led captivity captive, he descended down into hell, and he took the keys of death and hell from the devil and shook them in his face and walked away. And he stood before John and said, "I have the keys of hell and of death." Well, that sounds real good, but it just ain't really true. Theologically, it won't hold up. That would be like saying that the devil is the one that's in charge of death. We said a minute ago, when Jesus said, "Peace be still," he was in control. We said a minute ago, when Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth," that death had released him and the devil had no control. Amen? We said that Jesus was a conqueror. So, preacher, what does that mean? Hear what I'm going to tell you this morning. In the book of Deuteronomy, the Bible says, this is the Lord saying this. The Lord said, "I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand." That tells me who's in charge of death. The Lord is in charge of death, not the devil. He said in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 6, "The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and he bringeth up." Well, when he made that statement to John, what's he saying? He's saying, "John, just relax. I've still got the keys. I've always had them and I'm always going to have them. I've got the keys of death and of hell. John, I'm in control. John, I am the conqueror. John, I am the one that makes everything complete." Well, preacher, what is this power of death that the devil has? We read it in the verse there. I disagree with your theology. What is the power that the devil has? Look at me. This is what he has. Boo. The only power the devil has is to scare you and to strike fear in your heart. In Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1, there stood Joshua before the presence of the angel of the Lord, which is the pre-incarnate Christ. And right beside him stood Satan, resisting him. Basically, what he's doing is he's accusing. He's accusing Joshua. He's accusing you, and he's accusing me. He says, "Hey God, you said with Adam and Eve, when they sinned, that they would die. You didn't kill them, but they died spiritually. But when they accepted a blood sacrifice that the Lord gave, that was their salvation. Are you with me? And he covered them with the skins of those animals whose blood was shed." You see, the Lord offered the Scripture. Cain and Abel had about a false doctrine over the blood. The blood, the blood. It's all about the blood. You see, there what I was reading in Leviticus, where sin was transferred to that innocent animal, that had to happen every year. You see, what was happening was sin was being put off for one more year. And the next year, if they did it again, sin is being put off. And the devil stands and says, "Hey God, you said the wages of sin is death. You're just putting it off. This thing is never over. Sooner or later, I'm going to get them. They'll be mine." But God sent His Son, the Lamb of God, to die for our sins, live the sinless, spotless life. They walk him up Calvary's hill after having scourged him and beat him and bloodied him and bruised him and put him on a cross and nailed him there in his hands and in his feet and raked him up from the earth, and there he hangs. And he looks out over fallen man in despair and says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And the devil's saying, "Yeah, go ahead and let him die, but that ain't going to make no difference." But just in a little bit, Jesus says, "It is finished." What? The devil no longer has power to say that sin has been put off. With the death of my Son and the blood that's been shed, which is holy blood, sin is no longer put off. It's taken away. be brought up again. And the devil comes back to the throne and says, "Hey, I know what Darren Waldrop did. I know what he said. I saw how he acted. I demand that you look at it." And God looks down. "I put my sin under the blood of Calvary's flow." Jesus stands with me and says, "Father, yeah, he sinned, but I shed my blood and it's all forgiven now. And my sin has been taken away." And the devil says, "But wait a minute, he's supposed to die." "No, the Father says it is finished. Chase dismissed. That boy's let go. And I'm free, glory to God, forevermore." The other night, while the devil gets upset, 19 young people came in here and bowed on their face and said, "Lord Jesus, would you forgive my sin and wash me in your blood and save my soul?" And there's 19 more that the devil can't have. He'll try to remind you all day long, but he no longer even has the power to strike fear in our heart about us going to die. Because when they buried Jesus, on the first day of the week up from the grave he arose and he said, "Because I live, you shall live also." And when the devil says, "You're going to die, boy," I say, "You know what? I rest my case in the cross." Where Jesus says, "It is finished." Glory to God. Case dismissed. Well, let me read another scripture to you in Colossians. I'm almost done. You'll say, "Thank God for that." Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Look at that. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. What's he saying, preacher? In the Old Testament economy, when your enemy came against you and you did battle and you defeated your enemy, you would take his weaponry, his arsenal, you would take his helmet of brass and you would take all his breastplate and you would hang it up on the city walls and say, "Look, this was our enemy that came against us. This was he that struck fear in our hearts. This is what scared our wives, and he's the one troubled our children. But look, he's been vanquished, he's been defeated, he's been conquered. We don't have to be afraid of him anymore." And the people would shout and say, "Yes, yes, yes, no longer do we have to fear." You realize when Jesus got up from the grave, victorious over death and hell, that he displayed death and hell up there on the city walls and says, "This is the one you was afraid of. This is the one your whole life you've been troubled about. Look, I've defeated him. Death has no more power over you." And we ought to look up and say, "Well, glory to God that he's spoiled powers and principalities and he's made a show of them openly. Look, behold, I am he that was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore." Lord of God, I don't care if you like it or not. Amen. That's the book. Amen. And it's righteousness. Hallelujah. Well, let me say this. With those three words, it is finished. No longer does the devil have power to scare us like he once did. Death has been disarmed. Death has been defeated. And victory is yours and is mine. This is also pictured in the Old Testament story of David and Goliath. Goliath, I believe, is representative of the devil. And there he stood down in the valley and said, this is what he said, all the Israelites up on the hill were afraid. And he said, "Send me a man that we may fight." And all of Israel was scared to go. But God said, "I got one. I'm going to send my son down there." A preacher, they ain't stored David and Goliath. Oh yeah, it was Jesse who was the type of the father, who said to the son David, he said, "David, I want you to go down there to the battlefront where your brothers are. And I want you to find out how they fare. And while you're down there, I want you to take them some gifts, some cheeses and some other things." Guess what? When Jesus came, he gave us gifts of healing. Blinded eyes were opened, deafened ears were able to hear, the lame was able to walk, and the dumb was able to talk, and the dead was arising up. He gave gifts to men when the Son came sent by the Father. Glory to God. And when David got down there and he sent his brothers up on the hill, he listened to that one and said, "Send me a man," and cussing Israel and cussing God. And David said, "Who is this man that would defy the armies of the living God?" And Eliab said, "That's Goliath. Man, we're scared to death. Why are you here, David? Why in the world did you come? We know your heart. You're not here for the battle. You come to see about us. You want to get in on what's going on. You want to get in on the victory." David says, "Are you boys kidding? You ain't got no victory. You boys is suffering defeat and shame. Letting that big old giant cuss you like that. You's is all scared to go down there. You's is a bunch of cowards. Well, if you're so brave, you go, well, I will. I'll go. I'll go fight this one named Goliath. I'll be glad to go. Is there not a cause for me to go fight him?" So Eliab said, "Well, you just go ahead. Do you realize that Jesus came into his own, the Jews, and they received him not? They made light of him, and they rejected him when he came to the battlefront. But yet, glory to God, he started to go, and Saul said, 'Let me give you my armor.' He said, 'I don't need your armor.' Oh no. He went down the brook, took his sling. The Bible says he took a scrip. A scrip. A scrip. Kind of makes me think of Scripture. I'm going somewhere. He reached down there and he got five smooth stones, perfectly chosen, out of the brook. The Bible says he put them in his scrip. Put them on his side. He went right down there. The Bible says he didn't slip up on that giant. He ran to meet him. He said, 'You come to me and all this. I come to you in the name of the Lord God.'" Amen. And he took one of them stones out. I believe them stones represent Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. There's a new thought for you. I can tell you didn't like, you didn't get what? And he only took out one of them. He took out the book of Deuteronomy. You realize when Jesus was in the wilderness, And the devil tempted him, and Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." A quote from Deuteronomy. The next one from Deuteronomy. The next one from Deuteronomy. He's met the giant down there in the wilderness, and he just took out one of the five books. He said, "I'm going to knock you down with the book of Deuteronomy." He picked up that rock, slung it, and the Holy Spirit directed it, and it hit that giant right in the forehead, and down he laid. Let me tell you what, the Word of God will work. He put him down. And guess what happened? David jumped on top of him, looked at him, said, "I ain't got no sword." But he took that giant's own sword, the very weaponry that he had, whacked off his head. Bible says he picked it up and carried it back, saying, "This is the one you was afraid of? He looks pretty dead to me. I'm the victor. I'm the champion." That represents Jesus. He put him on the cross there. Said, "It's over." He said, "It is finished." Ha! The very weapon he had was death. He pulled it out, chopped off his head with it, and said, "On the first day of the week, I'm alive again. Is this the one you're afraid of? You've been worried about death. You've been worried about doom. You've been worried about destruction. Hey, he's been defeated." Go to God, John. I'm glad with "it is finished." There's some things that was accomplished. And you and I ain't got to run around here going, "Oh, I don't know. I don't know." I'm glad, glory to God, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. You and I have been given the victory. Why in the world we sat around here so depressed and so despondent and defeated? Hey, I'm going to tell you what. There is victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! Hallelujah. You stand to your feet this morning. You'll say, "Glory to God, preacher." Let me say this. That old devil tries to jump you and accuse you and bother you and worry you. You hear me this morning. You just stand up and say this. Or maybe you ought to bow and say this. I rest my case at the cross. With "it is finished." And the devil will have to run, because he knows he's been vanquished. Your head bowed, nobody looking. Someone come to the piano and play this morning. I wonder if there's somebody here. You've been a gambling. You've been a drinking. You've been a running around doing whatever you've been doing. You've been a talking. You've been discouraged. You're despondent. You backslid on God. You know you backslid on God. He gave you the very power to have victory. And yet you backed up and let the devil have charge again. Oh no. That'll never work, child of God. He's given you the victory Jesus has, and He wants you to have it. Shed His blood for you, that your sins might be put under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say some Christian in this house, say, preacher, I want to hit that old-fashioned altar and say, oh God, I want to thank You for the victory You gave me. For the pain, for the anguish, the torment that You suffered. You suffered it for me. I was the one that was going to hell. I was the one that was in trouble. I was the one that giant of death was going to defeat. The wages of sin is death. But I'm glad I found out that the gift of God, glory to God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And there is no victory in any other. That drinking stuff is just a counterfeit. Hey, the real joy is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And knowing Your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what it's about. I wonder if there's somebody here today, sinner friend, you've never been saved. Boy, you've been troubled. You've been worried. You've been under conviction. But today the Holy Ghost has been speaking to your heart. 19 little youngins just come home and said, Mama, I got saved. Daddy, I've been born again. And here you are, Mom or Dad or cousin or friend. You've never been saved. Them youngins has got something you don't have. If one day the Lord comes, them youngins is going to heaven. And you'll never see them again because you're going to hell. Hey, it don't have to be so today. When Jesus said, it is finished, that means the battle is over. Jesus is Lord. And this morning, you can have victory yourself if you come to Him. Would you come this morning, friend? Receive Jesus as Savior. Make Him Lord of your life. Christians bowed all around. Just say, Lord, I love You. Thank You for victory You gave me. Lord, I don't want to live a defeated life. I want victory in Jesus. All this morning, Lord Jesus, we praise You that You allow us one more time on this side of eternity to have the opportunity, God, to call Your holy name and to say, thank You, Lord, for being bruised for our iniquities. And Lord, thank You, Father, for being wounded and shedding Your blood because of my sin and my transgression. But oh, God, I hang my head this morning in shame and say, I deserve that death. And I accept that that was my penalty. But I'm so thankful this morning, Lord, that You sent Your Son, Jesus, Lord, who became the propitiation for my sins. And not for my sins only, but for the sins of the whole world, that I might be saved, that my friends might be saved, that my family might be saved. And Lord, I thank You for that today. And God, I pray, Lord, You'd hear us when we say, Lord, thank You for the souls You've saved this week. And I pray, God, You'd save more, Lord Jesus. God, I pray, God, You'd help us today to know as we go home, we don't have to go home defeated or afraid. We can go home without sorrow or without grief and say, Jesus is Lord. And because Jesus is Lord, my family is saved. We're going to live again. We're going to be reunited. Oh, we're going to shout and sing.